Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled Worship the Lord with Gladness. Thank you to Julie, Dawn, and Alan for being part of the video. The scripture reading is Psalm 100, verses 1 to 5. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Well, good morning to all of you who are with us today, and good morning to those of you who are watching this online. So happy to see the people who are here today. It's always good to be together one way or another. I know that many of you are reaching out in a variety of ways, helping each other out as we continue on and as we keep an eye on what's going on with this virus out there. I just appreciate the fact that everybody is staying in touch as much as they are and that we're able to be a support to each other, even with the limitations and the restrictions that we have to deal with. This group just continues to grow stronger and more bonded. And I know a lot of people have said to me, and I've experienced the same thing, that through all of this, there are some people that we've managed to get to know even better. And that has been a real source of joy, to get to know each other even better under these circumstances. There's always something to be found, a blessing to be found, even in times of difficulty. So I just wanted to start with announcements, and then I'll be reading a short reading before we get going here. So we have some birthdays coming up. Happy birthday to Robin and to Josh. And for anniversaries, Bonnie and Chad have an anniversary coming up. Lynn and Dave and Kathy and Earl, happy anniversary to all of you, and happy birthday to those of you who have birthdays. Let me read to you from Romans. I read this over this morning in the version called The Message, which is worded just a little bit differently than what we're used to, but it just kind of opened things up to me a little bit. It's sometimes nice to hear things in different words, so I'd like to share that with you now. So reading from Romans chapter 15 from The Message, it says, those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just to do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way scriptures put it. Even if it was written in scriptures long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you may get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with all of us. Then we'll be a choir. Not our voices only, but our very lives, singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it. Now you do it. Jesus, staying true to God's purposes, reached out in a special way to the Jewish insiders so that the old ancestral promises would come true for them. As a result, the non-Jewish outsiders have been able to experience mercy and to show appreciation to God. Just think of all the scriptures that will come true in what we do. For instance, the scripture, then I'll join outsiders in a hymn sing. I'll sing to your name. And this one, outsiders and insiders, rejoice together. And again, people of all nations, celebrate God. All colors and races, give hearty praise. And Isaiah's word, there's the root of our ancestor Jesse, breaking through the earth and growing tree tall, tall enough for everyone everywhere to see and take hope. Oh, may the God of green hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your blessing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, which will brim over with even more hope. May God add a blessing to his word.
I offer my welcome to all of you today. As Julie welcomed us, we're glad that you are able to be with us. I have maybe a strange question to begin my sermon today, and that question is, how many of us came to worship this morning, worshiping even before we started worship? How's that for a question? How many of us anticipated worship today, as opposed to, well, it's Sunday, we're going to come to church, which is a good thing. But how many of us contemplated and actively engaged in worship on our way to worship? What if we came to worship every Sunday, worshiping, praising God in our mind and our heart, even as we entered into worship? And if all that sounds strange, there is this very brief psalm called Psalm 100. And everything that I just said, I think, is contained in this Psalm 100. It says, and I know we're good Church of Christ people, and we don't really do things like this, although sometimes we've had experiences, I think, where maybe we did, and I'll talk about that just in a minute. Psalm 100, verse 1. How many of us have ever shout for joy to the Lord all the earth? It's just not something we do. Stand up and yell and shout. And yet, that's what the psalmist is saying. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Okay.
Worship. Okay, somebody does. And that's a great thing. Worship the Lord also with gladness. Okay, if I have to worship, I'll worship. No. This is birthday talk. This is Christmas talk. This is happiness talk. It's this excitement of shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. That's pretty cool. Enter his gates. Enter the church building. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations, and we're part of that as the generations have passed and the generations will come. So again, I ask the question, how many of us on our way to worship this morning worshiped anticipating the worship that we would be in? It's this privilege that God gives us that we can participate in this. This Psalm 100 has 16 references to God, praising him, and the extent of our worship is to God himself. So many of you may remember this. Years ago, we would have our usual Sunday morning worship service. And then on Sunday evening, we would have what was called our contemporary worship service. And that was for those who want to be part of it. But they also, people came from different congregations and people from the community would come. And it was an expectation of praise and worship. It was a great time of people coming together. And it was this exciting time, this praise of worship and coming together with people that we don't always know. And it really is a wonderful, wonderful time. And it's interesting, the names that's given to worship. We're going to worship, okay. We're going to praise, okay. We don't often say that. We come to gather together. I've got family, longtime family members who live in the north, and they always say, when it comes to church, we're going to meeting. That's their expression. We're going to meeting. And that meeting was anticipated even before we got there, right? And it's the same here. You hear people excited about coming to the Lord to give thanks, to praise his name. And sometimes these experiences are unique. I maybe shared this story with you. I don't know how many years it's been, but in Dauphin, Manitoba, there was a world evangelism workshop. And this was an invitation for anyone who was anticipating being a missionary. So there were many, many young adults who came from Southern Christian colleges. The Donners came from Europe. There were various people from all over the world that came to Dauphin, Manitoba. And if you've ever been to Dauphin, Manitoba, it is a wonderful experience. Barb and I have been there several times. I remember on one occasion, as we're driving through what's called Riding Mountain, we had a moose escort us as we're driving on the highway. We slowed right down, and the moose wasn't afraid of us at all. I could say I was a bit nervous, but he was just kind of guiding us as we went into Manitoba and went into Dauphin. And Dauphin is this unique place. And so prospective evangelists, missionaries, were coming into Dauphin, Manitoba, in the middle of nowhere, and we're going to have this world evangelism workshop. And one of the things that every person was asked, and they knew even before they got to Dauphin, is you need to find a place to stay. Meaning, Dauphin, Manitoba knows that we're having this world evangelism workshop. And there are people who will open up their homes to you if you knock on their door. But we're not going to tell you who they are, because you're going to have experiences when you travel as a missionary, and you're going to find some unique things. It's not always going to be easy. So I want you to get out of your comfort level. The leaders of this evangelism forum said, we want you to get comfortable. So people in the community knew, and the first time day that they were there, these people that came from all over the world to become missionaries, they just start knocking on doors. Hi, my name is John Smith, or my name is Mary Smith. I'm here for an evangelism workshop. Can I stay with you? And most people said, absolutely, and invited them in. Some people just said, you're crazy, close the door. But that was very few. And there was this invitation to young adults who were saying, you are going to go into the world, and you're going to go to places where no one knows you. And you may not be welcomed beautifully well, as the book of Luke talks about, but there will be people who will open the doors to you, and they will welcome you. So this was all happening in Dauphin, Manitoba. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And so there were a lot of university students who were there, and there were others as well. And it was my turn to stand up in front of this large evangelistic workshop. And I just started talking about Acts chapter 2 and how God's Holy Spirit came upon God's people. And I mentioned the fact that God's Spirit is with us here today in this room, I said. And there are people that will be leaving this room, never to come back again. There'll be people going into the world. And I was using Acts chapter 2 in various scriptures. And my hearing isn't the best at all times, but all of a sudden I heard words just coming out of the congregation. It was a large group that were there. And I would say something, and then somebody would say, that's right. And then there would be silence, and people were kind of looking around, and I'd be chatting again. Someone says, yep. And then there were these things that happened. Then there was somebody went, yes. And then, oh yeah. And then pretty soon people started to stand up. It wasn't because of my eloquence. People started to stand up, and they say things like, we're going. This was not anticipated. We're going. And somebody else said, that's right. And pretty soon the room was filled with loudness, with gladness, with joy, with anticipation, with this is going to happen. God's Spirit is with us. This will take place. Let me read Psalm 100 again, based on what I've just said. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Saying, if we're going out into the world to share the gospel, he is going with us. Can I say that again? If we are going out into the world to share the gospel, he goes with us. This happened centuries in the past, and it hasn't changed. God's call to us to share the glory, the goodness of God, caught up in praise, in thanksgiving. So let me just share with you a couple of scriptures that, well, we probably know. There are some psalms that are lovely psalms. Psalm 100 is a new one to me, even though it's very brief. It's a psalm of happiness, of gladness, of loudness, of endurance, of faithfulness, and all in 5 verses. But there are other passages where it's remarkable as well. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. This is a passage that we know probably fairly well, but I think there's credibility that maybe wasn't there without thinking about the one who wrote it. Peter writes it, and Peter knows what it's like to go out into the world. He knows what it's like to be excited about sharing the gospel and people responding to the gospel and the Lord doing incredible things like opening up a jail cell so he could walk out to preach the gospel, knowing that he'd be back in a jail cell before long, knowing that maybe down the road his life will be taken, and it probably was. We don't have the exact time and date, but most scholars believe that was the case. But that never stopped him, because there was more to him than him, just like there's more to us than us. Amen? And that's one thing I think that we often need to remind ourselves of. We're never alone. Even when we feel all alone, we are never alone. Someone says, well, how do I know that? He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always, without abandonment. And so I think there was that kind of Holy Spirit strength that Peter had. Even though he was beaten many times, even though he was in prison many times, he didn't seem particularly amazed when the jail cells opened up and walked out. Okay, this is what God wants me to do. And away he starts to preach. And so in this book of 1 Peter, he just has to give a little bit of praise before he begins teaching. And then he says, kind of what Psalm 100 says, but here's what it said, 1 Peter 1, starting in 3. Praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Exclamation point. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance, listen to this, that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Why? because it's kept in heaven for you, who through faith you are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it be refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor. So some have scratched their head. Okay, wait a minute. Even though I'm going through great difficulties, even though I'm not sure when I'm going to die, but it seems like I'm going to die because of my faith in preaching the gospel, that I'm not going to last that much longer. He said, oh yeah, it's kept in heaven for you. You're sharing the gospel that even if your life is taken, others' lives have been saved because of what you have said, what that gospel preaches. It's a powerful message. This Peter, who is about to be executed and will be executed, reminds us that these have come, this faith has come, so that our faith, greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Huh. Who knew we were in the Bible? Let me read it to you again, verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith. You are receiving the salvation of your souls. This is who Jesus is. And that Psalm 100 is just a reminder of how can we be quiet in our joy other than just not being quiet, just praising him. And there are times when it's very appropriate to worship in loudness and in joy and in praise. And there are times to be quiet and always giving it to the Lord. So in Dauphin, I'm going to go back to this Dauphin, Manitoba again. It was just an experience, I think, that I'll never forget. Then when it was my turn to get up and preach, I was just trying to share some thoughts, and there wasn't anything profound or whatever. And then I just started to hear it. And it was unusual for me. I don't come from many churches in the past where Barb and I have served where this really ever happened, but it happened, and it was this experience of just sharing the gospel and then hearing something in the audience. Sometimes it sounded like, I wonder what that was. And yes, and I'm preaching, and I'm trying to concentrate on what I'm saying, but I felt like I was being interrupted a little bit, but it wasn't an interruption. It was almost like an encouragement. Well, keep on preaching. And I'm thinking that maybe somebody's trying to interrupt the sermon, so I speak louder. And then got louder. And the yes got louder. And then pretty soon there was hands in the air. And here are people from all over that are going to go into mission fields. And they knew it wasn't going to be easy. And as the message was being preached, and pretty soon they were standing up and they were holding their hands in the air. And I'm thinking to myself, am I missing something? Is something going on behind me? What's going on? And people were standing and they're waving their hands. And I stopped and they just kept up. They kept praising him, thanking him, giving God the praise, giving God the glory. I've never had that experience happen again. But if I lived 1,000 lifetimes, I'll never forget it. It was God's Spirit coming into the hearts, in the minds, in the souls of anticipating mission work, no matter where they were. And it wasn't going to be easy. So in the book of Romans, you have the Apostle Paul, that you know, like Peter, who was thrown into prison many, many times. And when you read the book of Romans, it's not always an easy book to read. And I love what Paul does in Romans chapter 11, a pretty intellectual discussion, a pretty deep discussion. At least it is for me. I had to read it and read it and read it and read it and try to figure it all out. And then Paul does something that I think is the wisest thing to do. It's almost like, I think he throws his quill in the air, pushes it aside, smiles, and just does a little bit of praise. Because here's what he says, beginning in verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! Exclamation point. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever! Exclamation point. Amen. And if we were in Dauphin back then, it would be a loud noise of amen, because you have a room full of prospective missionaries who were needing that praise, who needed that encouragement, who needed reminding that no matter what, from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever, and reminded, and I am with you always. So Paul got it. He understood it. There are these great scriptures. I love the fact that we're reminded of these. And then another passage that I think is unique is Acts chapter 17. This is a very familiar passage of scripture, because people are wondering, what's happening here in Jerusalem? Why are people all of a sudden turning to the Lord in a powerful way? Who is this Jesus? And so they get questioned. Paul stands up in the meeting of the Areopagus and says, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God, just in case we missed one. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he doesn't live in temples built by hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because God himself, he himself, gives all people, listen, life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole world, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. Huh. Who knew God knew where we were going to live? God did this so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out for him. I can tell you that many of those missionaries, prospective missionaries in Dauphin, Manitoba, when they left that time and place of praise and glory and worship, and within a year or two of working in some pretty difficult situations, they needed to reach out to him and to find him, even though they knew he was with them. And because, for in him we live and move and have our very being, as some of our own prophets have said, we are his offspring. That is a reminder for all of us that we are God's offspring. God knew the exact time and places in which we would live. Thankfulness. So let me conclude today by rereading Psalm 100. I don't know how to do it except just read it. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. I was thinking about doing that this morning, but I don't know if somebody would be offensed or feel offensive at that, and I don't know. But shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made you, me, us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness will continue throughout all the generations. So there, thank you. So there are 150 psalms. Some of them, many of them are praise psalms. Many of them are basically mini sermon psalms, encouraging us in all kinds of aspects in our life. But here's one that always stuck with me. I like it because it's only three verses, but it's a powerful picture in our mind. Imagine you were in the sanctuary of the Lord, and you come in to a dark room. That's happened a couple of times here. When there's someone who has passed, and the funeral is the next day, and there's no one here except for me. I've often done this. Lights are off, completely dark. Casket is here. The body's there, but the person's not there. And I often will come to that front pew and talk to this person. The person is with the Lord. Sometimes I say, I wish I spent more time with you. Sometimes it's, wow, you have changed my life. And it's anything that comes to your mind with someone you know. This is who we are. Family. There's a poster at the back that just says family. It's a word. But when it becomes a reality, we are family. We just read of our spiritual family that lived thousands of years ago. Maybe there'll be thousands of years to come. I don't know. But it's dark. I've come here where it's dark because of this, and not because of me. And it's just this very brief Psalm 134. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord, lifting up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Can you picture that? It's dark, everyone's asleep, but the sanctuary of the Lord in the Old Testament was manned, if you will, 24 hours a day. There was not a moment in the sanctuary where worship wasn't taking place. Sometimes it was quiet. Sometimes it was praise. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, those who minister in the house of the Lord at night. So, Psalm 100. Worship the Lord with gladness. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And then the chorus, his love endures forever. And that's a long chapter expressing this beautiful, beautiful concept of coming together in the Lord's house. You've come here today, and I hope that you feel like you're in the Lord's house. And I hope that you remember and recall special worship services where you felt so close to the Lord. I just would encourage all of us to remember, the Lord is with us, never forsaking us, always with us. And if you're feeling a little distant from God, as many of those young missionaries who went into the world and after a couple of years were exhausted, the comment was made, come on back home. You need to be encouraged. You need to be loved so you can go out again. And that's us. We go out into the Lord asking people to come and worship in the house of the Lord, to know the Lord, and to grow in Him. May God bless you this week.
We each have our own little sections. Has anyone ever had doubt? You know, when I came to Christ, I was like C.S. Lewis, I probably came kicking and screaming. So, one of the things I found over time that, you know, you pray and you pray and you pray. And sometimes you see the results of that prayer. Sometimes quickly, sometimes not so quickly. But you see it. But, you know, some ways I always felt there was a disconnect in there. I came to faith in Christ. I believe in Christ. I believe in what Christ did for me. I've accepted Christ. And yet so many times I'm not close to Christ. My day-to-day life, how many times a day do I not think of Him? Do I not worship Him or praise Him? And a lot of times it's just because you get involved in the world. Right? We just get all wrapped up in our daily lives, and that kind of takes all of our focus. And then we come to problems. When we have problems that affect our way we think, the way we feel, and I think we've all experienced those. Well, I had a good friend that I trained with and worked with. It was a minister in North Carolina, a Baptist minister down there. And we did a lot of work in hypnotherapy and various modalities, cognitive, behavioral psychology, and various other areas we studied and worked in. And one of the great things about Bobby was, his name is Bobby Bodenhammer, he had the ability to take something designed for the corporate world or for the individuals in therapy. He had a way of translating it to Christianity. Okay? And so what I wanted to do today is to, if you're amenable to it, I wanted to teach you something that I found greatly helpful for me that Bobby developed quite a few years ago. Okay? And one of the issues we have in life is perspective. We get sucked into our own perspective. It's called first person. We are looking out to the world through our emotions, our feelings, and it's very much about us, right? But there are other perspectives, and we can change those perspectives, and we can change the way we think about those perspectives. And by doing that, we not only change our thinking, we change everything. So one of the things is a perspective exercise where you would teach leadership and teams how to shift perspective. One thing they found was the top CEOs out there had this common ability between them. Okay? They were able to step between first person, second person, which is the person you're dealing with, to third person, which is an objective way of viewing the situation without the emotion. And then could also go to a fourth, which is what is best for the company. All the top leaders had those abilities. They're the people who would walk through the plant and remember people's names. Right? They were true leaders. So Bobby thought a lot about this and started translating a lot of the exercises, and I did some work on them too, into a Christian concept. So this is the first one, and it's a perspective. It's all about perspective. So if you would humor me, I want you to think about a situation that's caused you a problem. Another person, maybe, that you've had an argument with, that you've disagreed with, that you've had a problem with. Or you can use another problem. So first thing I want you to do is just, if it helps, to close your eyes to do the visualization, just close your eyes. And I want you to picture that person in front of you that you've had an argument with or you've had trouble with. And I want you to just stop thinking for a moment from yourself and just allow yourself to imagine what that other person, where they're coming from. Okay, so that starts to shift your perspective into the second perception, which is the other. And just by doing that, you can't know what's going on, but you can, you know, we have these incredible senses that can pick up stuff, the majority of which is not what we see. It's picked up from so many other areas, minute muscular changes in a person's face and things like that. So we pick up all of this stuff. So we can get a sense, if we allow that, to experience what the other person is experiencing. The third place is to step outside and watch yourself and the other person. Okay, now that's third. That gives you some distance. That gives you the ability to look at it without as much emotion. Now, as you're doing this, your perceptions will start to change. And one of the things I like best about this is because you can expand it further. And I want you just to imagine that problem with that person, and I want you to imagine yourself floating up to the top of a mountain, and you look to beside you, and there's Jesus. Now you can shake his hand, you can hug him, and you can bow down, but I want you to end up holding his hand, holding his right hand, and looking down from that mountain onto that problem, that issue that you experienced. And tell me, is it different? Does the problem appear different? It's helped me for many years to use that, especially when I'm praying and I can't feel like I'm connecting. Just words coming out, but eventually it does. And that exercise has done wonderful for me over the years, and it's helped many, many people to deal with many, many things and many, many problems. And it's one way I can find that I can connect with Jesus at any time. So now it's time to take the bread that's representative of Christ's body. And Lord, we just pray that as we take this communion with you, that we will have a closer relationship with you, that we will feel more comfortable with you, that you will be there always, as you promised that when you passed, the Comforter would come. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And as you instructed us, we take the cup, the fruit of the vine, and we drink it in memory of your sacrifice for us and our salvation. Amen.
Well, it's been good to be together today. I want to thank Donnie for that message and Alan for that little lesson and that reminder of how we can switch our attitude and be more in tune with Jesus. I want to thank Adam for choosing those beautiful songs. That last one kind of got to me. I'm having a hard time talking. Jesus is just always with us, and we can never forget that. He's always there if we open our eyes to see him. I know that this time of year, we're all enjoying the beautiful fruits of the land. And by fruits, I mean fruit. I mean those peaches. A little earlier, it was the strawberries. Just all of the beautiful fruit of the land that's coming to us. And I can't cut into that fresh fruit or that vegetable. You know, worship and praise happens lots of funny places. And sometimes it happens in the kitchen when I'm cutting into a strawberry or feeling that juice from the peach dripping off of my hands. And I just think, Lord, you're so good. You've made all of these beautiful things for us. And it nourishes us. And you're taking care of us all the time. Sometimes we lose sight of that, but he is always with us. He's always taking care of us. He gives us everything that we need. And praise God. Praise God for all of those things that he does for us on an ongoing basis. Now, some of us are struggling. We have some people who are struggling with illness, some serious illnesses, and some, you know, other kinds of struggles at work and whatnot. But we just hold all of those people up in prayer. I hope that all of you, those people in particular who can't be with us, I hope you know that we love you dearly and we're holding you up in prayer every day. So since I'm losing my voice and my ability to talk without crying, I'm going to just say thank you to one and all. Please continue in your prayers for our friends who need it. And please go out there and just praise God for all the goodness that he gives us every day. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. Scripture quotations marked MSG are taken from The Message, copyright 2018 by Eugene H. Peterson, used by permission of NAV Press, all rights reserved, represented by Tyndale House Publishers Incorporated. Scripture quotations marked ESV are from the ESV Bible, the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers, used by permission, all rights reserved. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.